Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God on Wednesday night as we explore the Word of God together. God has allowed us this time to come together week after week after week. And each one of you could have been doing something different at this time. But you decided to come where we could come together in fellowship in the Word of God, that we may be strengthened, that we may find joy, that we will learn to be faithful by the Word of God, that we can learn to love one another with our whole heart, that we can learn to be about our Father's business. You know, we have a lot going on in this world. You know, when God created everything, evil was created as well. And the prince of the air, which is Satan, is having his way. But we have to stay in and hold on to the confession of our faith. People are killing and shooting people down just because of the color of their skin, because they feel that they are afforded the privilege as a privileged one. God has no respect to person. And the gift of life is for everybody. But it is real. It is evil. And it is in this world. So I want you all to know that God is in control. No matter how dark the road may seem, no matter how low the valley may go, God is right there in the middle of everything, and he's got you. He's working all things out together for you. So be encouraged, my sisters and brothers. God is not through with us yet, and God take care of his own. And I'm not saying all of the people that were shot down wasn't saved, you know, wasn't a part of the body of Christ. But you have to remember that God does what he wants. It didn't happen unless he allowed it. And in allowing it, he has a purpose. It's a part of his master plan. And he's got it in control. So be encouraged and be blessed. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of James, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 17. And the title of our lesson is, We Are in the Land of the Dying, Being Prepared for the Land of the Living. And at this time, I'm going to play a song that I think is appropriate. It's a short song, but it tells a powerful story, something that we all must do in life. The title of the record is I'm Gonna Finish This Race. So let me get the song together in the studio. I'm gonna play the song, and when we get through, we're gonna go to the throne of grace. This is August the 7th. And this is the first Wednesday of the month. And you know every first Wednesday we read our prayer list and we go to the throne of grace on behalf of those that are on the list. So that'll happen as well once the song is played. And then we're going to explore the word of God together. So listen to the song, and we're going to continue with our lesson. The name of the song is Run Till I'm Finished. Listen to the words and be blessed.
I have decided, determined, I'm committed. That I run, no matter the cost. And I have decided, determined, I'm committed, that I'll run, even though at times I may get lost. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to take my proper place in the winning circle. I'm going to run anyway. I don't know where or when or how, but I know that I'm going to make it. Oh, I'll run this race. Now so safely in amazing grace, I made up my mind, and I don't have much time, but I'll run till I finish. I'm going to run this race. I'm going to take my proper place in the wind. So safely in amazing grace, I made up my mind. I don't have much time, so I'll run till I finish. Oh, I made up my mind. I don't have much time, but I'm gonna run. I'm gonna run. I'm gonna run till I finish. But I'll run till I finish.
That was a short song, but it's telling us that we have to run the race that has been set before us. And you have to run it till you finish. And you have to be committed to decide how you want to run the race. Many of us do it our way. We have enough word and enough church and enough Bible study in us to do or to know what to do. And we have to evaluate ourselves to see if we are really doing it. So the record said, run till it's finished, and then you could take your proper place in the winning circle. So at this time, we're going to go to the throne of grace, and Sister Pam, who does the prayer on the first Wednesday and read the prayer list, is going to come forth. Sister Pam?
Yes, I'm here.
Your mic is
open. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everyone. Okay, tonight when I say the prayer list, I won't be calling every name that I had on the list, because some people had passed away, and then maybe some had did much better than what they were doing. So tonight, this is the list. Esther Lucas, Jim and Kathy Hartman, Diane, Dustin, and Derek McBride, Mary Hodges, Gladys Phillips, Lance Brown, the Martin family, Sister Janice and family, Tammy Ditto, Berlene Garrett, Jacqueline Nichols, Maddie Lala and family, Javonda Caples, Darrett Olive, Rosalind Henderson, Christy Moore, Tanya Williams, Tasha Kane, Brent Little, Sharon. And we ask in prayer tonight for all those families that lost a loved one in the mass shooting in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. We also asking tonight for prayer. We asking everybody tonight to pray for all the school children that will be returning back to school tomorrow. Some of them went back today. Some of them went back Monday. But we ask that you pray for those kids going to school, because they faces a lot of different things also in school each and every day. Lord, we say thank you tonight for life. We thank you, Lord, for your guidance, for your love, for your patience. Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your protection and for being our Savior. Lord, we pray that you continue blessing our Bible study every Wednesday night, and our minister, our teacher, and our sister in Christ, Sister Diane. Father, we need you, Lord Jesus. There's trouble all around us, all over this world. Lord, we know that sometimes you will allow tragedies to happen in our lives, and that we may not understand why. But we pray, Lord, that you give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, we thank you tonight for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing, and all that you're still to do. We pray this prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam. And as Sister Pam had asked us to just pray, we have to learn to pray for our Bible study, for the students, for the families. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, when they say, blessed are they that moan, you know, people think that's, you know, just dealing with debt. But when what that was saying was, when we moan and we are sorry, you know, it sorrows us, the evil that is in the world. God said there's a blessing for people who like that. The ones who look at the tragedy that happens and it just hurts their soul. And they begin to pray for the family for relief. If you haven't prayed for those people, please do. If you haven't prayed for the children going back to the school, you know, our children are facing all kind of things in school. Many of them face bullying and they decide they want to commit suicide. Some of them are trained to be something that they shouldn't be. Hallelujah. But we as the body of Christ, the household of faith, we have to pray more. Because God said, my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. We have to pray on our knees. You see, Christians take time out. Satan don't take time out. He don't take no vacations, and he don't take a leave of absence. He's pumping up the volume because he know the time is short. And we should also know that the time is short. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to want to know what you did for him. You know, and part of the lesson tonight is about that. Our lesson tonight title is, we are living in the land of the dying, but we're being prepared for the land of the living. It's coming from the book of James, the 4th chapter, 13th through the 17th verse. And I have some background tonight. I wanted you to know it's the book of James, and James was the writer. And it could be found in the New Testament. And James was one of the first books written, even though it's towards the back of the New Testament. You see, James was the half-brother of Jesus. See, both Jesus and James had the same mother, Mary. But James' father was Joseph, and Jesus was God's only begotten son. You see, the book of James is called a general epistle. And an epistle is a letter. You see, the approach of James is practical. If you really read, like James is sort of like our Wednesday night, plain and simple. You know, if you read James, you will see that it is, you know, it has been called the Proverbs of the New Testament. And it's one of the most books in the Bible with Jewish information because James' audience was the Jews. You know, if you look at James' book, the theme of James' book is faith and works. It surfaces repeatedly if you read it. You see, James presents these subjects not as conflicts with one another, but as complementary to one another. You see, when you really get to know James, you know that he did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah while Jesus was living and conducting his earthly ministry. But you see, after Jesus resurrected, James received a post-resurrection appearance of Jesus, and then he believed. Not only did he believe, but he knew that Jesus was truly the risen Christ. You see, as many followers of Christ were killed and martyred, James was also martyred for his strong convictions of the gospel. You see, this letter can have rich meaning for us as we are reminded that genuine faith transforms lives. We are encouraged to put our faith into action. You know, James is the one say faith without works is dead. And many people start to believe, and that's the doctrine that many people believe, that you're not saved just by faith, but you got to be saved by works. James wasn't saying to be saved, you got to work. James was saying once you're saved, you need to want to work. It is easy to say we have faith, or I have faith, but true faith will produce loving actions towards others. You know, one of the main things that Jesus and God spoke about, you know, they asked Jesus what's the greatest commandments one time. One of the I don't know if it was a Pharisee or a disciple, I don't remember right now, which was the greatest commandment of the ten, and he broke it down to two. God always emphasized to us to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your might, and love your neighbors as yourself. You see, true faith will produce loving actions towards others. And see, this is what faith does, and this is what faith is doing. And it, and the lesson that I'm saying, the title of the lesson, faith is preparing us for the land of the living. He's teaching us how to be with one another in harmony. If you allow your faith to work in your life. You see, many times people say that they thank God for being in the land of the living. Oh, I thank God that I'm still in the land of the living. But in reality, we are in the land of the dying, being prepared for the land of the living. You see, once we enter eternal life, there will be no more dying. You know, we are taught in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, that there's a time to be born and a time to die. So that lets us know we all have to die. If we was born, we have to die. Just look around. You'll see that there's dying in the land. Some by natural causes, you know, some by accident, and, you know, some by murder. Dying is all around us. We are in the land of the dying, and we all have to die. But we don't know when. We don't even know how. But we do know why. Because of sin. You see, when sin entered the world, death was an attachment. And that's the background for today. And if we go into the scriptures, we on James, for those who have your Bible. And I would recommend everybody, when you come to Bible study, to bring your Bible. When you go to school, you bring your book. You know, some people think they got it going on so much that they don't need to see it in a Bible. You know, bring your Bible to Bible study. We in James, the fourth chapter, verses 13 and 14, and the scripture read, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there for a year. And we're going to buy, and we're going to sell, and we're going to get gain." That's someone talking, you know, like they got it, they're making their plans. And then 14 say, "Whereas you know not what shall be tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appear for a little time, and then it vanish." It's telling us, you are not in control. You can't say what you're going to do. You could say what you're going to do next year, but you can't guarantee it. You know, and I'm not telling you not to set goals, but goals can and sometimes disappoint us if we leave God out. You know, there's no point in making plans as though God does not exist. Because you have to remember, he has the future in his hands. To live with no motivation, as some people do, or planning, is not God's desire. You know, God say he hates a slothful person. No motivation, no plan is not God's desire for us. Because we, if you look at Ecclesiastes, the ninth chapter and the 10th verse, Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou go. You got to do it now. You see, we have work, and we must work while we still have time. But tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Making plans that are out of the will of God will not prove, it will not produce the end result that you might be looking for. If you think of it, you start doing it, you think what you want to get from it, and you left God out, many times it will not produce the end result that you're looking for. You see, God has plans for all of our lives, and they are tailor-made, uniquely designed for you, and there is an expected end in your purpose. We know Jeremiah, God told him to tell the people, I know the plans that I have for you, not of evil, to give you an expected end. You see, God has an expected end for all of our lives, that he created us and he gave us purpose and he formed us in our mother's womb, and he's given us provisions to take care of what he expects from us, an expected end. You see, the Bible teaches against two extremes, someone who never set goals or others who set goals with no thought of God. Nothing can or will happen unless God allow it or produce it. I mean, when we could really understand that in our lives, you know, when it's going all good, just say, thank you, Jesus. And when it's going all bad, you say, thank you, Jesus. God did not prompt those two young men to do that mass shooting, but he allowed it. And you might ask the question, well, why? But God has a purpose, a plan, and a season for everything under the sun. And it's going to be so amazing if we get to the other side and in eternity, and God give us some insight on how he was really doing it and why he was doing it. But if you trust God, pray for the family, continue to pray, and you keep it moving, trusting God and realizing he is in control. You see, God has created our existence before the foundation of the world. And we must make our plans loosely and allow God's will to be done in our lives. We must all remember that God's attribute is that he's omnipotent, which means he has all power and all control. You see, if you want to know how to make your plans, I'm going to give you some points right now. So when you get ready to make a plan about anything, buying a new house, needing a car, want a mate, want a different job, want to have joy, want to have peace, want to get along with your family, when you making plans about doing anything, I'm going to give you a pointer. And I'm going to tell you right now, go to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verse 33 and verse 34. And this lets us know how we should plan. That scripture says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It goes on to say, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. That's how you make your plans. Seek God first. And then when the scripture says plenty of people have a misunderstanding of all these things will be added to you, like money, prestige, you know, and all of that. All these things will be added unto you. What things? Joy, love, peace, long-suffering. Come on, y'all. Mercy, grace, and all these things. And yeah, you're going to have a little something, something. What's going to be added? All these things, the provisions. Whatever provisions is necessary for you and your life. But you got to seek God first and his righteousness. And then Philippians 4:6 says, when you get ready to make your plans, I done already gave y'all 1 point, Matthew, seek God first. And then Philippians turn around in Philippians 4:6, and it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. You seek God first, then you be prayerful with supplication, and you give him thanks, and you give him your requests, you give him your plans, and you wait patiently, and you listen. And when God tell you move, you move. When he say get up, you get up. When he tell you get out, you get out. And then you got to go to Romans, the 8th chapter and the 28th verse. And this lets us know if we do it God's way, what's going to happen. And it says that all things going to work together for your good, for those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. Remember that. Seek him first. Pray and be thankful. And wait on God to work it out for your good. You see, life is but a vapor. You're here for a little while and vanish away. You know, all of us have an appointed time to die. Don't get it twisted. But we know that sin that came entered in the garden, man had to die a physical death, because that's the only way you're going to receive eternal life. That's why Jesus had to die. That's why God had to take on flesh, so that he could die, that he could be resurrected . We have to die. You know, my aunt told me today, she said, everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody don't want to die. You got to die to live eternally and to live in eternity. You see, the scripture used the word vapor. And if I looked up in Webster Dictionary, it says something that is very short-lived. You see, God's time is not equated as our time. And I want you to tell you tonight that God is not bound by time. So if you did the things that I said to do earlier, seek him first and do prayer and supplication and be thankful, then you have to wait on him. You can't set a timetable when what you done brought to God got to be got to happen. God is in control of time. He's not bound by time as we are. You see, if we put all of our concentration and efforts on this life, which is only short-lived, and think only on the things that the world can give. And the world is defined in the Bible as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You have to evaluate where are your talents, your gifts, your resources, and your time? Where is it most spent? On the things of God or the things of the world? Take your inventory. You see, if you're spending all your time on the things of the world, which is only temporal, you will miss God's best for you, which is abundant living here on earth. And then you still have to die. You see, God is preparing us for the land of the living, which is eternal life. Life is shorter than you think, no matter how many years we live. It's short in God's eyes. Don't be deceived into thinking that you have a lot of time remaining to live for Christ. Start loving on your loved ones. Take time and mend those broken relationships. And concentrating on doing what you know you should do, because it's the right thing to do. If we never have another day in church on earth, another Bible study, or anything like that, but most of us already have enough in us that we know to do and is not doing it. We have to be committed to live for God today. No matter when your life ends, it should be your goal to have fulfilled God's plan for your life. That's the only way your living will not be in vain. And you have to remember, only what you do for Christ will last. Well, you might say, Sister Diane, what you mean by that? You see, the things that are done for Christ, when we die and we're judged at the judgment seat of Christ, it won't be judging you to see if you're saved, but it's going to be looking at your works and your deeds, and God is going to give rewards for those things. Those are the things that's going to be rewarded. Those are the things that God is going to hopefully be able to say, well done, thou faithful servant. So when I say only the things you do for Christ will last, because they're not going to end in this temporal world. It's going to be carried with you in your account in eternity. Hallelujah. So you got to watch what you're doing. You got to watch how you spend all of your energy if you want to please the Father. You see, and then we're going to look at James 15:16-17. And it says, for that ye ought to say. Don't go around saying what you're going to do and what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, why you're going to do it. Because you should be saying, if it's the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. And 16 said, but now ye rejoice in your boasting. And it says, all such rejoicing is evil. God does not like someone to boast. Because when you really think about it, what do you have to boast about? Just like God had to tell Job after Job was going through what he did. He said, Job, can you make thunder roar? Can you make Can you take water and make it set in its boundaries? And I ask you tonight, can you make it rain? Can you, as the scripture say, add a cubic inch to your stature? Can you make yourself taller? No. Can you change the color of your skin? No. So with that being said, whenever you boasting about this and that, God says is evil. And 17 said, dare to him that know. This one is deep, y'all. Listen, 17, James 4 and 17. Dare to him that know to do good and do it not. To him is sin. You know, we always like to point somebody's sins out and say who's so sinful and who's dying and going to hell. And, you know, if a person is have an outward sin and everybody could see it, they just always want to judge on it. But there's so many sins. A sin is anything that exalts itself against the word of God. So don't be so high mighty. Don't be so boastful like you got it on. All the things I used to do, I don't do no more. But there are some things you're doing now if you want the truth to be told. And James let us know right here that to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him is a sin. And so many people like that have not given a listening ear to God's command when God is directing you to do something for somebody or go somewhere, visit the sick and visit the poor. Y'all hear this all the time. But it's like plenty of times it's going in one ear and it's coming out the other. But the scripture here says, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him is sin. You see, we are not afforded the privilege of speaking as if we have the power to control our lives. Remember, we are here today and could be gone also today. We are in the land of the dying, being prepared for the land of the living. You see, the word of God teaches us how to do it. We should always remember that God is in control and his will is going to be done. Get with God programmed. If God said it, oh well. If God did it, oh well. If it's going good for me, oh well. If it's not going good for me, oh well. Come on, y'all. That's our joy and our strength. We sit down and worry about the wrong things too much. And I didn't say y'all, I said we. You know, we have to begin to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll do this or that. Anytime you are boasting about your plan, what's really happening is you just lean into your own understanding, which is evil. The scripture said if you are boasting, it's all about your doing, if God has nothing to do with it. Some people, I'm a self-made man, I'm a self-made woman, I got all of this on my own. If God didn't give you breath, you couldn't be nothing. You'd be in a grave stinking. Don't get it twisted. The Bible said the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything that dwells therein. It all belongs to God. So many people think the way that they're doing things right now is okay. And I'm not telling you could be perfect, but I'm telling you should have a desire to want to press forward. I'm telling you that you should want to grow higher in the things of God. I'm saying You ought to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the word of God. They think that the way they're doing is all right. They read a little. I don't read at all. The Bible told us we're supposed to study, y'all. They pray when they feel like it. You see, and they do it like they want, as if God got to get with their program instead of getting with God's program. And it becomes their perception. And their perception becomes their reality. But it may not line up with the word of God, which is the truth. And you got to know that all reality is not real, because it's not true. You just have in your way. You're doing it like you want. But evaluate yourself. You're going to probably get what you got, because you're doing it like you want. If you go to the book and remember in the book of Haggai, when the people began to do what they wanted to do and they was ignoring God. You know, God is a long-suffering God. But God said you're going to reap what you sow. Come on now. And no sin goes undone. You see, in the book of Haggai, the people was doing what they wanted to do. And they wasn't paying attention. And God told the prophet to go tell them. They're planting all of those seeds, and yet the harvest is little. They go out and work. He's saying it's almost as if they're putting it in a bag with a hole in it. God said, until they do right by me, you're not going to gain. You know, some of us could look at our lives and realize that if we do maybe better, we'll have better, we'll be better. You see, I just want you to know we are not afforded an opportunity to boast. God didn't fix it like that. We'll never, when we get to eternity and if we get the opportunity to ask God questions, you're never going to be able to say, well, God, I really did do that. And God could say, who gave you breath? Who woke you up that morning when you did it? When you needed rest, who laid you down that night? God has not afforded any opportunity for us to boast, because it's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. Boasting is not of God. It's a man thing, and it's a thing of this world. You see, we tend to think that only doing wrong is sin, but James lets us know that sin is also not doing that which is right. You see, these are the two kind of sins that are called the sin of commission, which is the physical act of doing wrong, you committing it, and the sin of omission, which is to know to do good and don't do it. You know, it's like it's a sin to lie. Let me see. But it's also a sin to know the truth and don't say it. You see, some people have made up their mind that they are not ready to follow Christ all the way. So they don't want to hear what he's saying about certain subjects that they are not ready to give up or to give in. And I tell you guys all the time, I believe the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, but I haven't been able to perfect it. But I'm faithful. You see, some people believe that if they don't know, then they won't be held accountable for what they don't know. But as Christians, to know what is good and don't do it is a sin. And you're going to be held accountable because you should know. That's why I say study to show yourself approved. That's why God ordained the church. That's why there's Bible studies all around. That's why the Bible is the greatest book to ever be written. And it never lost its place on the bestsellers list. And there are people who will not go to hell because of what they did. But you have to be careful you don't go to hell for what you didn't do. And that's accept Christ. Because they got a lot of nice people. They have people I know, you know, I'm not going to call them an atheist, but they haven't, you know, received Christ as their Savior. But they're some of the best people in the world. They know how to treat people. They know how to love. They know how to give. But they haven't accepted Christ. So they're not going to go to hell for what they're doing. They're going to go to hell for what they didn't do. Accept the Savior, because Jesus is the only way. You see, there's a scripture in 2 Peter 2:21 that says, "For it has been better for you not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn from the holy command delivered to them." You know, you go all these Bible studies and then you do it like you want to do it. It's better to not know than to know and don't do it. You see, we as Christians must take our rightful place. There are many things that we could do that we are not doing. We see things and we turn our back. You see, someone might be in need, and you could help them, but you don't. That's a sin. And I've learned, I know so many people that's good people, decent people, but their eyes not even trained to see a need because they're only thinking about themselves all the time. And even when they do recognize the need, you know, they click it off their mind. You know, there may be someone in need and you could help them, but you don't. That's a sin. Remember, we are only stewards. Everything belongs to God in the first place. And to whom much is given, much is required. You see, some people only want to help those in their family. Only want to help themselves. They don't have no time, no money, no energy, no nothing for nobody else. It's a sin. God didn't give you everything you have just for you. He's not giving you good health that you don't use it to go and help somebody else. You see, someone could need a word of encouragement, and you could give it, but you don't, as if to say someone else could do it. God give you the opportunity to pray, and you don't. You wait for someone else to do it. And you say stuff like, "I don't have time." That's a sin. Someone may need a word from God, and you know it, but you don't share it. That's a sin. And as I close tonight with this, this life is not long as it may seem. The scriptures has told us tonight that it's only a vapor in the eyes of God. But he has given each one of us enough time and all the provisions necessary to accomplish our purpose for his glory. How amazing is that? God has something he wants you to do, and he done given you all the provisions to do it, and yet you don't do it. Make every day count that your living will not be in vain. You know, when I worked at the funeral home for 30 years, they had a casket said, my living is not in vain. So, you know, sometimes people who bought that casket, it might have fit their life, and sometimes it didn't fit their life. But if you want it to be said that your living has not been in vain, then you got to be about your Father's business. You got to stop being so selfish and so unconcerned about the things of God. You have to see where you're spending your time, your energy, and your money. And you have to remember only what we do for Christ, like I said earlier, will follow us into eternity, which will be our rewards. They said Jesus is coming back in the clouds for the rapture with his rewards in his hand. And when we get to see him, there will be only rewards, no condemnation. You see, and after saying all of that, that's why I can say that we are living in a land of the dying, but we're being prepared for the land of the living, which is eternal life. We begin life with our date of birth, and end life with our date of death, and there's a dash in the middle. So I ask each and every one of you, and myself as well, what will your dash say about you? And that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone want to pray, ask for prayers, or give words of encouragement. I already have one light on, and I'm going to get to that caller. If you want to add to the lesson, you may press the one button on your phone. Caller, your number is 985-774. Your mic is open.
Hello, Sister Diane. I did press the button by mistake earlier.
Okay.
Hello.
So would you like?
No, it's okay. I really enjoyed your sermon tonight. It was really good, and I just really appreciate you. And I keep praying for everybody on the prayer list.
Thank you so much, and I pray for you as well. And I truly love you too. And thank
you
for. I love you too. Thank you for calling in tonight, and thank you for pressing the button by mistake, because I'm glad to hear your voice. Thank
God
you.
God must have pressed it for me. Thank you.
Come on now. Thank you. And y'all could realize, you know, sometimes you press the button, and if you just say, good evening, everybody. You know, I get joy when I hear your voice. I can't see your face, but if you press the one button, I could hear your voice. But, that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone don't have anything else to say, it is now 9:28. And I'm going to go ahead and lead us out in prayer. If someone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, I'll lead us out in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, God, you are the great I am. Our Lord, our Savior, our Master, the beginning of every beginning and the end of every end. Lord, I just want to take time to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for everything that you're doing in our lives, everything you have already done and what you promised to do. Lord, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for the men and women of God that is sharing your word. I thank you for the people that call in on Wednesday night. And I thank you that you're preparing us for eternal life. Lord, yes, we are living in a land of the dying. We have death and turmoil on every side. We have trials, tribulation, and adversities. But Lord, your word has taught me that after every trial, tribulation and adversities, there's a period placed there by you. So, Lord, I'm going to hold on to the confession of the faith, And I'm praying for each and every person that calls in, people listening on the internet who listen at it during the week. Lord, bless them for their faithfulness, that they continue to come together as we explore the Word of God. Thank you for words of wisdom, dear God, plain and simple. Continue to use me. Not that I'm so good, not that I do everything right, but God, you have a plan, and this is your plan, and it's the way you design it. And for that, I say thank you. And Lord, I confess that I'm going to continue to press, and I'm going to continue to run this race, because I realize the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. Lord, I thank you for being an author and a finisher of my faith, dear God. I thank you, dear God, for you just holding me in your hand. Lord, I realize that you haven't left me, and you never forsake me, dear God. And for that, I have to say thank you. Hallelujah to your wonderful name. Lord, you created us to give you glory. Lord, I pray that you get glory from my living. And I pray that you be able to say, servant, well done. Lord, I love you, and I can't make it without you. If it had not been, Lord, for you on my side, I don't know where would I be. Lord, I just love you. I just love you, dear God, with my whole heart. Bless the families, dear God, from the tragic shootings. Bless our children as they go to school. Have mercy, dear God. Thank you for everything. Thank you for loving me. Hallelujah. Thank you for extending your righteousness towards me. Thank you for life and living. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. That's our program for tonight. Thank you, Jesus. And if anyone would like to say anything, you can still press the one button on your phone. If not, that's it for tonight. And I pray that God be with you until we meet again. And Lord, if it's your will, as the scriptures taught us tonight, we'll be back on Wednesday. Teach us, Lord. Guide us and protect us. Prepare us for eternal life with Christ Jesus. That's our lesson for tonight. And I pray that God be with you till we meet again. To each and every one of you, God loves you, and so do I. Remember to pray for one another. Pray for the Wednesday night Bible study. Because God said, if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto you. Each one of you are playing a part in this. Because you are the program. And there's someone out there who needs to hear a word. There's someone out there wondering, what must they do to be saved? So each and every one of us, let our light so shine that men may see the good works and glorify the Father. Good night, and God bless you and keep you.